These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country, and jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Monday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. A busy one on the show today as the Stanley Cup playoffs roll into the second round with some amazing matchups. We already got a classic game one in the NBA, and we got another classic from Canelo. So a lot to cover on the program with some UFC talk to close things out. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Let's get to the show. So, the Stanley Cup playoffs roll on with the Florida Panthers taking on the Boston Bruins in Game 1, Round 2 tonight. And looking at this series, Look, anything can happen. These are two very good teams, and this is going to come across as rather dismissive of one of those teams. I don't see Boston winning this series. You look at the forward group. Florida feels more talented and, quite frankly, deeper. You look on the blue line. Florida feels more talented. Maybe not as deep, but Florida definitely feels more talented. And you look between the pipes, and Florida feels more talented. Swayman's very good, so is Bobrovsky. And that is where, if Boston is going to win this series, it is going to be Swayman comes in and just steals it. Because, like, scoring, Florida. Special teams, Florida. Defense, Florida. Everything else feels like it is the way of the Florida Panthers, and they are built for this time of year. They have home ice advantage in this series, and I do think that Boston got a very good draw getting Toronto in the first round, and now they have to face what feels like a bit of a juggernaut with a team that made it to the Stanley Cup final a year ago. Feels like they are a bit more complete this time around, and now is a team that can go out and play a style of hockey that the Bruins, I think, were very famous for playing, but they can do it better than Boston can do it now. And I think this is the series where the Bruins, with the issues they have down the middle, I think this really comes back to, I don't want to say bite them, but I just think it shows up in a real pronounced way that Boston is not good enough at the forward spots. Credit the Bruins for getting here, but I do think that that series went seven against Toronto, not because, because of the Leafs, but it went seven because Boston just wasn't quite that level this time around. They still have some great players. Don't get me wrong. Like, this is a very good Boston Bruins team. This isn't, like, a couple of these have felt a little negative on Boston. But this is more what the Panthers can do than what Boston can't do. And it is a bad, bad, bad matchup for the Boston Bruins against Florida. And I think this is where they are going to regret kind of sleepwalking through the back part of the regular season. I think they would love to have home ice in this series. And they don't, obviously, because of how they played down the stretch, how Florida played down the stretch. And now I think they are going to rue the day that they ended up falling behind the Florida Panthers in this bracket. But overall, what a playoffs we have left. Like, I just went on about why I feel like Boston isn't going to win this series. If they do and they go on to win the cup, we're not going to be like, oh my goodness, the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup. And I feel that with all eight teams that are remaining, there are going to be four teams at the end of this series, that are going to be remarkably disappointed that their season is done after two rounds. It is going to feel like a failure of a season that it now ends in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that is incredible to get to that point where it feels like all eight of these teams, it's not cup or bust for all eight, but it is Stanley Cup aspirations for all eight of them. And that is so much fun to get to that point here in the season. As far as the teams that lost, I was on Sportsnet 960 The Fan out here in Calgary here on Monday, and so I did a lot on the Leafs, but just to kind of tie it all up, it is time for Toronto to try something different. I'm not saying, like, Matthews gone, Nylander gone, Marner gone, Tavares gone, but one of them, and it's such an interesting spot and a nice added wrinkle to it that, like, Matthews clearly isn't going anywhere. Nylander just signed a very long, very expensive extension. He's not going anywhere. So it's one of the two pajama guys. It is Tavares, who had Leaf pajamas, grew up wanting to do this. Marner, who so passionately wanted to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and win as a Toronto Maple Leaf. And now one of them isn't going to be it. And for this team, I think to really take that next step, they have to make this move. And I do feel like it's going to be Marner who ends up being the one gone. Now, he has a no move, so he gets to kind of dictate where he wants to go, or if he wants to go at all. And he has said, like, the goal is to stay in Toronto, but as Luke Fox pointed out with me today, that call wasn't as, no, I'm a Leaf for life, as it has been in the past. And I think that I think that he has kind of broken down on this, and I think he understands that there is probably life beyond the Toronto Maple Leafs for Mitch Marner in his NHL career. But Toronto has to make a change. The Shanna plan is done. I think you have to, front office-wise, kind of clean house. Like, Treliving, I think, probably gets a bit of a stay because he just got there. But I think Keefe is definitely gone. And I would get rid of Shanahan. I think that Brendan Shanahan has had his hands in all of this. And I think that that has led to a lot of the issues that they have. And it hasn't worked. And Shanahan is the one constant. Well, not the one constant. There's a lot of constants through all of this. But in management, he is the one constant in it. And I think they need to now move on from that. And that will require an interesting direction. But I do think, sorry, I thought I heard a cat. But I do think that this is going to be a team that needs to get going in another way. There isn't a gigantic teardown needed, right? Like, this is still a talented team, but a bit better, more efficient spending, I think, needs to happen. In terms of the actual game, that OT winner just simply can't happen. And on the radio call, Bowen called for Samsonov to come out and play that puck. This one is not on Ilya Samsonov. This is on the players that let Pastrnak get behind them and get a breakaway chance. I do not fault the goalie at all. He just about got to that one and couldn't make that save. It has to be the guys on the ice. Marner can't let that happen. Riley can't let that happen. And this is where the whole it's been 8 years things comes in, because that is just not a playoff effort. Overtime in game 7 effort that gets you to allowing that goal to happen. It was a total breakdown from this team, and that honestly, if it were me, that's Marner's last moment as a Toronto Maple Leaf. And Riley, you feel gutted for him, because he is the one in all of this who is just, like, they said before, effort isn't the issue with the Leafs, and I believe that, which isn't as reassuring as people want it to be, but with Riley and with Marner, those are the two guys who are just working so hard. Riley can actually channel that energy into strong hockey. Marner, I think that type of pressure just eats him alive. But both those guys to be the ones to have Pastrnak just controller has been disconnected past them is really difficult. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't have got to that point. This is a team built on offense that scored 12 goals in 7 games. That's atrocious. And Luke Fox said they haven't scored 3 or more goals, or more than 3 goals in a playoff game in their last 14 playoff games. For a team built on offense, it is just simply not good enough. And the Golden Knights thing, we've kind of done that one to death. Not that we haven't done the Leafs to death, but we've done that one to death where, like, look, the whole, oh, well, their guys were injured. What an advantage for them. That goes out the window. They just look bagged at the end of this. That second goal where Dallas has the cycle going in the corner and Steele knows to go to the front of the net and they know to drop it to Foxa and he knows to shoot. All of that isn't happening on Vegas because they didn't have that continuity throughout the season. Hurdle is just playing with Marcia. So I said Arreño today, that's the best player he's played with in like 5 years. And he has a chance in tight. If he slides it across, Marcia so can use a pool cue and just the puck into the net. But instead, like, he still gets a good chance. It's a backhand from 2 feet away. So it's still an all right chance, but it's just, there's that continuity there that they weren't able to build during the regular season, and it ends up costing them. But what an amazing playoff we have left. Dallas against Colorado is going to be remarkable. Vancouver against Edmonton is just going to blow up hockey Twitter. And we already got one good game out of Rangers against Carolina. And that power play is so effective for this Rangers team. Like, they had the one goal, I think it was Trocheck who scored it. Four passes took all four defenders out of the play. That's insanity to me. Like, they get it over on the wall, that draws the high defender up, he's out of the play now. So now you're dealing with three. They pass it down low, or they pass it across, and that takes that defender out. Okay, let's get it down low. Now that defender has to come over to Zibanejad, and now it's just wide open in front, and boom, bang, bang, it's in. Like, four passes took four defenders out of the play and left a player wide open in front. It was art what the Rangers are able to do with the puck movement on their power play. 5-on-5, could it be a little bit better? Maybe. But this is a Rangers team that is a real threat. And you saw all the talent they had on display. And we also saw the thing that I talked about in this series, the worry I have for Carolina. I think this is such a talented team. That fourth goal can't happen for Freddie Anderson. And he is the biggest liability I think that's left in the playoffs for any team, is that he just isn't on the level that the rest of this Carolina Hurricanes team is. And like, that Panarin goal just squeaking through him is a backbreaker, and then to end up losing by one is just devastating. And like, the other guy's not letting those ones in. So Carolina is in a real difficult spot, I think, going up against this Rangers team. It's going to be a hell of a series, and going to be a hell of a postseason, at least a hell of a second round here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're in for a good one in basketball too, and it kicked off the other night with an all-time classic. Okay, all-time classic might be a bit of an over-exaggeration, but this was still a heck of a game between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets, and it has led to some real big discussions around Anthony Edwards and the company that he is in with what he has been able to do. But first of all, just what a fantastic game. Incredible. The defense was strong, but still excellent shot-making. Adjustments being made and not being made by coaches and different decisions. It was all so much fun to pay attention to. But Anthony Edwards comes out of this one feeling like a super duper duper star. And the ceiling for him felt like it was top 5 to top 10 player. Now it legitimately feels like the ceiling for this guy is best player in the National Basketball Association. That is the type of performance he put on, and the type of playoff he is having so far is, it goes from, yeah, this guy's going to be on some all-NBA teams, to this guy could win multiple MVPs. And this guy already feels good enough to carry this team to a title. That is the type of performance we are talking about from Anthony Edwards. There were no holes in the game. He was kind of the best player in the game at every aspect of the game. Defensively, he was strong. He comes with up with a big block that leads to an Anthony Edwards, leads to a cat dunk. He comes up defensively really strong on a few plays on Jamal Murray, limiting him. His three-point shooting was excellent. He was getting to the rim. He was hitting from mid-range. Everything you needed a superstar to do, he was doing it, and he was doing it better than everyone on the floor. And the feeling of this series changes greatly if Anthony Edwards is going to be the best player in it. Like, it feels like an entirely different series if that dude is just that dude. And it is... it has been fun to watch. It is incredible what he is able to do. And it changes the ceiling of everything for Minnesota and for Anthony Edwards himself. On the Denver side, it's not time to panic yet. And they won't. They are defending NBA champions. They are going to, I think, be just fine. You look at it like, well, maybe Ant, like, you can't just say, well, Ant isn't going to play that well again, because he might. He's just been that good. But Murray's probably going to have more than none in the first half, and he's probably going to have a bit of a better game. You look at the rest of it, like, is Reed going to be the second best player on the floor with no Karl-Anthony Towns? And how are you going to adjust now to another game of Anthony Edwards. Like, is it going to, it's probably not going to be just KCP on him the whole time. So I think there are several adjustments to make, several improvements that will happen, and Denver will be fine. But boy, did they have to work hard for every bucket that they got in that game. And Jokic had to absolutely grind to get everything that he had. And that was wild. But again, you had Murray not make a shot. Naz Reid was unconscious. Anthony Edwards was Michael Jordan. Jokic had to battle. He only lost by a couple. Even after going a stretch of just not making a bucket and falling behind by 10. And that was, I think, the big thing, is that they had to keep dragging themselves up these hills just to get even. And then Minnesota would storm back with another big run. So it's going to be a fun series. It's probably going to go 7. And it is going to be just some amazing basketball being played the rest of the way. But you think about the importance of the regular season. A, game 7 being in Denver, I think, in the series is huge. B, the importance of Naz Reid being comfortable in that situation was huge for this team. With no Karl-Anthony Towns in the back part of the season because of an injury, Naz Reid stepped up in a major way and contributed to this team competing for the number one seed. And now Karl-Anthony Towns gets into foul trouble. Reid just goes right in. He's like, hey, guys, you know we're good with me. And he was confident and he knew what to do. And there was that that cohesion with that group. And they put on a heck of a performance. So the NBA playoffs continue to just deliver. And it'll continue tonight with a couple of games. Can't wait to watch game 2 this evening. All right. It's been amazing in the world of hockey and basketball. But we had a huge fight weekend. And we saw another phenomenal fight from the face of boxing, Canelo Alvarez. Canelo Alvarez stepped back into the ring for another fantastic fight Cinco de Mayo weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada, picking up a unanimous decision victory in what was, again, a fantastic fight. Munguia put the pressure on Canelo early, and you knew that that was Canelo just downloading the information, figuring out what he has to do. Bit of a slow starter, but he is going to come out and figure out what he needs. And then he lands a devastating shot that ends up dropping Munguia, and it changes the fight right there. And that is when you could see Canelo started to figure things out. And Munguia was bringing it, right? Like, this wasn't just like Canelo walking through. Like, Munguia had Canelo in trouble a number of different times. And I think he did a whole lot better than the commentary. We got, where I was watching it, we got the DAZN commentary. I know Jim Gray threw to Mauro Ranallo a couple of times. So I'm assuming there was different commentary on different outlets. We got the DAZN commentary, and I think they had a bit of a rough night personally. I haven't totally been a fan of the DAZN presentation just in general. I just love that they put on awesome fights. But it was talking like it was a one-sided beatdown. I thought Munguia was great, and I thought he was winning rounds even down to the end, where that knockdown becomes a really important factor of this fight. But two things really changed this fight. A, Canelo's use of the jab, I thought really, like, it. I still want him to use more, and that is a weapon of his that has kind of gone away as the career has gone on. But that was a weapon for him that I thought really started to establish him in this fight. And he started to use that once he started to get that ball rolling. And I don't think that's a coincidence. The other was that the big body shots that just, he was able to make Munguia pay in a way that Munguia, I don't know if he just didn't see coming or wasn't anticipating, but God damn, did it seem like those hurt a lot. And that was able to kind of slow Munguia down and take some of the zip and some of the life out of those punches and allow Canelo to start to implement his game plan. The counterpunching was there for Canelo, like we had talked about. It really did feel like a vintage Saul performance in Las Vegas. And I think this is massive for Canelo. I think it is massive for the sport. And I think this now gives Canelo a couple fights to build off of. Like, we had a couple duds in there from Canelo. We talked about it throughout the week. Like, there was some time where people were like, okay, the Canelo thing is done. Like, it's not done. He's always going to be a draw. But let's start focusing on some of the other guys in the sport. And Canelo with the last fight against Charlo, and now this one, just reminded everyone, he isn't just like some washed dude who is just like grasping on to relevancy. This is legitimately the face of boxing and one of the best fighters in the world. And how he was able to figure out the puzzle of Munguia and come away with a tremendous victory was the stuff that only the best can really do. And Munguia said it after, and I believe him 100%. Munguia fights that way against anyone else in the world, and he wins this fight. There is no doubt in my mind. Munguia just happened to be the second best boxer on the planet on May 4th. And he was just stuck in there with the best. And that is an unfortunate spot. But I think he is really going to learn a lot from this. And you think about what this weekend did. This was a really fun action fight. So the stock is going to rise just from that. He felt like a star all weekend. Those crowd reactions at times were 50-50, if not leaning more towards his side. So he comes out of this weekend feeling like a big deal. Feeling like he can be a legitimate headliner in this sport. And that is an amazing place for him to be, because he deserves it. He is an amazing action fighter. He can bring the power. He can throw that volume. He doesn't really wear down. He did seem like he was the more wore down of the two by the end, but the cardio was still insane for the output and the power that he is able to throw with. But as that fight goes on, Canelo gets stronger. And now I think you have to go Mexican versus Mexican again. I think you have to go Benavidez, Mexican Independence Day weekend in September. But yeah, just a really, really, really fun fight. I've said before, it was rather busy around these parts throughout the weekend, so was not able to watch Backlash yet, and was not able to watch UFC 301. So we'll have more reaction on that as the week goes on. But that's going to do it for the show today, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to subscribe here on YouTube. Make sure you like and leave a comment. We've had some good debate in the comments the last couple of days, especially around the NHL stuff, so let's keep that rolling. If you are listening in podcast form, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. As always, I really do appreciate all of that. You can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I am at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. And you can email this show, CouchPotatoDiary@yahoo.com. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on Sportsnet 960 The Fan again from 1 to 3, and then on Game Over's Draft Lottery Show starting at 4:30 Mountain Time. So check me out there, and then back on these wonderful channels throughout the rest of the week. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and I will talk to all of you later. I'm out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.